Good morning, everybody.
Hi. You know when you have those mornings when you feel a bit all over the place? Well, we're a bit all over the place. I'm glad, but the thing is, it's good, because if all of us are all over the place, it doesn't matter, does it? Because we just want to... So it's lovely to see you, and we come into a good place. We come into the loving arms of the Lord, and we come into one another's loving arms. And so before we pray, just have a look at who else has come today. You might think, oh, didn't know they were there. I've never met them before. And Andrew, hi. Tech man on the top of the balcony there. And we've got Ivy, Joanna, and Samuel at the back there, and Connie at the front here. And just a wonderful collection. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we don't have to be a particular type of people or behave a particular type of way to come to you, to come into your presence. We don't have to have the right clothes or the right sounding voice or anything else. We can just come as we are. Whether we've got it all sorted or whether we're all over the place, we can come. And thank you for your great love. I pray as we go out this morning, having been together, we will know more of your love, more of your power, more of your compassion for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, just got a couple of notices. Hungry Hearts today, bring and share lunch, is happening in the hall after coffee and refreshments. The last of our The Word seminar series is happening tonight. Notes for the first three sessions are on the table. It's not too late to ask Mark for the video link and have a look and see what we've been looking at. Then the fourth and final one is tonight. Renew won't be happening tomorrow. Joan Young is unwell, and Sheila's standing in for today on the projector, and she's not well. And there's not a sufficient team for that on Monday, so that won't be happening. And we'll have an opportunity a bit later in the service to pray for people within the church. If there's a wave of affliction of one sort or another hitting us, and so we'll come to the Lord later on. And on that point, Mark, you wanted just to say something. You want to use that microphone there? Yeah, whichever.
Morning, all. I had a real sense this week that we need to be a faithful people by being full of faith. Faithful people are full of faith. And specifically, for those that are unwell amongst us, you heard Jones come back from holiday ill. Rowena, of course, continues with her post-op recovery, but is also dealing with shingles, which if you've ever had them, you'll know it's quite serious, quite nasty. I'm particularly mindful today as well that Stephen has quite a key appointment on Tuesday with clinicians. So you'll remember we called the church to days of prayer and fasting earlier in the summer. I think it was June, wasn't it? Coincidentally, it's Tuesday again, this appointment. I think it'd be right that we come together in prayer and fasting again this Tuesday. I'd like to ask you to join us in doing that for Stephen, that we would be faithful, literally, as church family. I was reminded of the psalmist this morning in Psalm 41. David said, "The Lord sustains him on his sickbed." That's been your testimony, hasn't it, Stephen? He has sustained him on his sickbed. But it goes on to say, in his illness, you restore him to full health.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's my prayer. I think it would be the prayer of each of us this morning.
Thank you, Lord. I'll pray now,
but may that just be a trailer for you praying Tuesday. And in whatever form, finding a way to fast alongside. Father God, we thank you that your word tells us that you are the Lord, our healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. Thank you that that's your word. We stand on your word this morning together as church family. And we want to come together as faithful people who are full of faith for what you can do, what you've promised. And we ask that you would touch each of the folks we've mentioned, Rowena and Joan and Stephen especially, and others that need your touch of restoration and full health at this time. Lord, you are our maker, you are our creator, and you can recreate
in
miraculous and marvelous ways.
Thank
we
you
ask
Lord.
You to move in each of these situations, and we hold up Stephen especially. That you would go ahead of him for this meeting on Tuesday. You would give him and Leslie full confidence and assurance in their faith of your goodness and your power. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. One of the most special things that is happening at this time is that our faith in God is growing and our love for one another is growing. God allows these things to take place. It's a bit of a mystery, but one of the things is the love for one another is growing. So it's wonderful that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our first few songs focus on the holiness of God. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. There is no one like God, is there? God who created us, who knows our every thought right now, and loves every one of us. As usual in our worship time, feel free to sit, to stand. God gives you a word. You think it might be something from the Lord, just offer it and we'll test it. We want to hear what the Lord has to say to us. You are a holy God. God, an all-consuming fire. bless you, Lord. That's who you are, Lord. You are eternal, immortal, invisible, holy, holy. And this is holy ground. We call this the sanctuary, a place set apart for worship. But we thank you, Lord, that wherever we place our foot is holy ground, because we are temples of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, as we come together in your name, you're here present, fully present. May we have the sense that this is indeed holy ground. We stand before the King of Kings and Lord of all. Saints have walked this road before, carried their cross through heaven's door. To the King of Heaven, all the angels sing, and we have a choice whether we will join the song of the angels today and every day. Yes, Lord. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I thank you in faith that you are, as we worship you this morning, Lord, tearing down strongholds of sickness in our fellowship.
Yes, Lord.
That you are punching holes, Lord, where Satan has got a grip, where he has arrogantly felt the right to step on our toes this morning, Lord. We thank you that through praise and through worship, thank you that Stephen's singing voice is coming back, Lord, that as he praises you, Lord, you are acting in his body, and that in faith you are breaking down the stronghold. So we thank you, Lord, that you already have the victory. You just call us to be obedient. Thank you for those this morning who, to praise and worship you is an act of sacrifice. Lord, they didn't feel like it this morning. They didn't feel like coming to church, maybe, or they didn't feel like worshipping you because they're quite cross and angry. And Father God, I thank you for those sacrifices that we bring. I pray that they would be a sweet smell to your nose. And Lord, I pray that you will break down strongholds as we worship you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, so the enemy cannot stop us dancing, cannot stop us singing, cannot stop us declaring your worth, your majesty, your glory, your holiness. We have chosen to join the song. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted across the world, for whom joining the song costs in so many different ways. We thank you for those who are listening at home or later this week who are joining the song on their own, but they're not on their own. We are together worshiping you. We thank you for our children who are joining the song. We thank you for those who can't sing or feel they can't sing, but they are, as our hearts, our spirits call out to you. So we give you praise and glory today. Amen. Please be seated. We'll take up the offering now, if we may. And thank you for those who are doing that. Yes, Lord, we will serve no foreign god. We won't serve money. Money is a gift from you, and it's not a master. It's not a desire. It's not an idol. It's not a false god. We thank you for the gifts, the financial gifts you've given us, and the privilege of giving it back to you to see more people come to know your love, to be set free from the gods of this world. So we pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done, as this money is spent wisely. Amen. Thank you for that song, Leslie. Wonderful. So, with the blessing of our children, Ivy and Joanna and Connie are going out today with Angela and Dawn, and they're going to be looking at Miriam, the same as we are, but a different bit, a really bit. So wait to see what comes. So we pray. Father, we thank you for our children, those here representing all the children that are involved in our church life. So many in different ways, and we thank you for the gift of children to speak to us and for us to share with them truths, eternal truths, to last for their whole lifetime. I pray you bless Angela and Dawn as they work with them, that they would enjoy time together. Amen. Thank you, Angela. Thank you also, Debbie. Angela and Debbie have both taken on an extra a session for our children's work, which means now that we've got a children's program which is on the table, and sort of 3 out of 4 Sundays now the children are going out, and those programs are available for you to give to people to say, yes, this is the provision we have for children. So if you want to make use of those, do. Have a good time. And Jean, we're going to have our reading at the beginning today, just for a change. Is that right? Good. Do you want to come up as well, Sheila? And then we'll pray for you both. Okey-doke. Father, we thank you for these lovely ladies. They're not laughing at that. I thought it was... They obviously agree. Father, we thank you for our sisters, Jean and Sheila. And we thank you they believe in your word. And they speak your word. I pray you bless Jean as she reads your word to us. And Sheila as she shares the thoughts you've given her about it. That we may be inspired, strengthened, comforted, and encouraged. Amen. Over to you.
No.
She's gonna. Okay. You just sit down and keep out of trouble.
Yes, sir. Right. So the reading is from Numbers chapter 12, and that's on page 148 of the Church Bibles. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak out against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease, and said to Moses, Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, God, heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spat in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazareth and camped in the desert of Paran.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you here this morning. And as we look into God's word, may he bless you, encourage you, and also challenge you. Because God's word always does that if our hearts are open to him. So as we share about Miriam, I'm sure if you think about Miriam, you always think of the early days and the two pictures that are up here and how she looked after Moses and made sure that he was kept safe until the princess came along. But there's another story about Miriam that we're looking at this morning. And this one is the woman whose jealousy brought judgment. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Miriam's name means bitterness. Now, I can quite imagine lots of parents, when they have their first child, what should we call him or her? Whichever the case may be. And there's great discussions into what they should call them. And, you know, our names are very precious to us, aren't they? We know it. And when somebody calls it, we listen. And when I was younger, if mother called me like this, Sheila, I knew it was all right. But if it was Sheila, I knew I'd done something wrong. Now you're all smiling, and that's great, because that's life, isn't it? And but Miriam's name means bitterness, rebellion. Because of her jealousy, Miriam's fate was one of extreme bitterness. That's tough, isn't it? Miriam was the eldest child of Amram and Jochebed, and the sister of Aaron and Moses. Miriam owed much to her ancestry. She was the daughter of godly parents. If you know and love the Lord and have got children, you're a godly parent. We don't hear that very often now, do we? But it's true. And she was the sister of two of Israel's greatest figures. There is neither marriage nor courtship. There is neither marriage nor courtship. Her interests are not matrimonial, they are national. Her mission is not domestic, it's patriotic. That's quite hard for a woman, a young woman, because family wants you to get married and have children. I know my parents wanted that for me, but that wasn't God's journey for me. That's their desire. It's a human nature thing. I want my children to get married and have children and have a lovely life. Yes, amen, hallelujah. But you can also have a lovely life if you're single as well. Sorry. I'm not pushing it, but what I'm saying is, you know, if you've got God in your life, he can make it precious. So Miriam owed, as we say, much to her ancestry. But there is neither marriage nor courtship in her interest, and not matrimonial, they're national. Her mission is domestic. It is patriotic. Miriam, the unmarried, is a heroine in an age where female celibacy was not a consecrated thing. No, it's the same desire nowadays. Parents want their children to get married and have children, and that's understandable. But this time, if somebody didn't get married, they were looked upon as, well, something wrong with them, obviously, if they're not getting married. I can remember somebody saying that to me once. I said, I'm sorry. I said, but God's in control, not me. And if he wishes me to get married, he would bring somebody along. So whoever may be listening to this, if you're in that position at the moment where there is those desires that you want to be married, bring it to the Lord. Let him have his way with you. And he will give you the best husband you could wish for. But if his will for you is to be single, he will fulfill you. He's a faithful God, yes. He's a faithful God. We see here Miriam as a clever girl on the banks of the River Nile, looking out for her brother Moses. Safety. We remember that story very well, as we can see the pictures. It is known so well. But let's move on to a time when Miriam and Aaron opposed Moses, which Jean has just read for us. Miriam's words and work were full of inspiration of God, and she is brought as a leader and a pattern to the women of Israel. It is at the Red Sea that we see Miriam standing out so prominently, proclaiming and singing the power and faithfulness of God. She led the Israelite women in dancing and instrumental accompaniment. I won't sing because that will spoil it. But, you know, this was her. And she sang praise and victory songs for them. When was the last time you said hallelujah? Don't answer that. But it's just a challenge. When was the last time you said hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever it means for you. We should be doing it all the time. You're alive. I think. Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They are definitely alive. And Miriam's work was inspirational, full of God, and singing praise and proclaiming. That must have been absolutely amazing. After the plague fell upon Egypt, Pharaoh let God's people go. Moses, the leader of almost 2 million people, with his brother Aaron and as his high priest, and his sister Miriam as his chief singer. She was a chief singer, worship leader. I'm challenging worship leaders here, but also people who are listening to this. If you're a worship leader, you are bringing people into the very throne room of God. That's a big responsibility. Don't do it lightly. If God has called you to be a worship leader, be a worshiper. Somebody said to me a long time ago, to lead people into worship, you have to be a worshiper. And that's so very true, isn't it? So very true. So this is what she was doing. She led the Israelite women in dancing and instrumental accompaniment. And here is Moses and Aaron the high priest and Miriam as the chief singer, as I've said. Miriam led the joyful multitude using her tambourine. I'm not very good at instruments. I can never keep in time. But when you get people that can really use the tambourine, it's quite good, isn't it? It really gets you going. And she sings to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider he thrown into the sea. That's God. Miriam was a very faithful patriot with the love for her country, but jealousy led her to reject both the position of Moses as the leader and also the wife he took. She found the management and marriage of Moses very irksome. Well, I'm not very happy with this lady that you're going with now. This isn't, don't like her. Have we ever said that about our family? I don't know, but God knows. But we can, can't we? Oh, my goodness, he's not going out with her, is he? You know, it's human nature, isn't it? But don't, It can pass you by in your brain, but don't let it settle on the top. Remember that. The devil will bring things into your mind, but don't let it settle. So Miriam was a confirmed member of the Hebrew race and dead set against any foreign alliance. Miriam feared the influence of a new wife for Moses. And as I just said, you might say, well, I understand that. That's normal, isn't it? But Miriam's greatest offence was her sarcastic rejection of the leadership of Moses. She changed to a leader of discord, division, and discontentment. It only takes one word to somebody. You disagree with something somebody has said, and you go and talk to somebody. Well, I didn't agree with that. Did you agree with that? It only takes one word to actually stop people going in the right direction. Your attitude, your words are very powerful. Remember that. As Christians, your attitude and your words are very powerful. They can build up or they can destroy. That's hard. But it can. But she made her complaints. And of course, Aaron also partnered with her, his sister. Remember that Moses was found in the bulrushes and lived in the palace for many years. So Miriam and Aaron would be very close together. They didn't know anything about Moses for quite a long time after. So Aaron, you know, they were just together, brother and sister, very close. But in the outburst against Moses, they were both together on that. She led, he followed. Be careful. Be careful. But of course, God heard the complaints Miriam had voiced, and he called the trio of leaders to meet him at the tabernacle of the congregation. If God was to come down in person here this morning and say, I want to talk to you this morning, well, I don't even know how I would feel about that. It would be very awesome, very challenging. But God is present here by his Holy Spirit. Be careful what you say. Be careful what friendships you build up. What relationships you have. Is the relationship you've got honorable to the Lord? Be careful. Don't blame other people for the actions you make. You are responsible for your own actions. So here we have the meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation. Taking up the defense of Moses, God spoke directly to Miriam and Aaron in no uncertain terms. Whoa. Do you recognize when God is speaking to you? Or do you just say, no, I don't want to know? God still speaks today if we have ears to hear and hearts that are open. But God spoke directly to Miriam and Aaron in no uncertain terms that they had hurt Moses, but also failed in their duty towards him. The rebellious sister and brother were reprimanded by God for speaking against the honored servant. As a divine cloud left the tabernacle, the eyes of Aaron looked for his sister. And to his horror, she'd got leprosy. Just like that. Because of what she'd said. The proud, jealous prophetess was condemned to endure the most humiliating of diseases. Judgment only fell upon Miriam, which indicated that she had been the instigator and had influenced her brother. Be careful who you influence. Be careful what you say. Judgment only fell upon Miriam, obviously, as she was the instigator and influence of her brother. And this humiliating thing fell upon her. But Aaron and Moses, overcome with pity for their condemned sister and filled with brotherly love, prayed for Miriam. Do you complain about your brother or your sister, or do you pray? My brother's gone to be with the Lord, but he was a lovely brother and he prayed for me. He prayed for me when I was, years ago, yes, admittedly, but he prayed for me when I was going out with a young man that wasn't a Christian. But I thought I could lead him to the Lord. But Ken knew it doesn't work like that. That was my brother. A loving brother, a caring brother. Here was Aaron and Moses overcome with pity for their condemned sister. This was leprosy. There was no healing in those days for that. And they prayed for Miriam, that punishment might pass. Prayer was heard on her behalf. And after her separation from the camp, which she was separated for 7 days, she was healed of leprosy by the power of God. Not by the power of Aaron and Moses, but by the power of God. But Aaron and Moses prayed and believed. And I know we're being challenged as a church with Stephen's condition. And there's many others as well in situations. We're being challenged. The Bible is silent to any other further service she rendered once the camp moved on. We don't hear any more. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, I often wonder. And when she was buried, she was mourned by Israel. So what are some of the lessons? This is a very short sermon this morning, but what are some of the lessons that we can hear and receive this morning? Jealousy. Jealousy is a very, very powerful emotion. You can see it in children at a very early age when they're playing with toys. I want that. Let me have it. No, it's mine. No, I want it. And you've got smiley faces, so I know some people have experienced that with children. But it can be like that with adults. Jealousy is a very powerful emotion. And you need to deal with it if you have it. Or even just a glimpse of it. Oh, I'd like to have a house like they've got. Why have they got one and I haven't got one? Many years ago when I was blessed by doing evangelistic work with children and so on, and a kind couple from this church who are not here anymore, but gone to be with the Lord, but one's still here. But because of their love, I needed a car. And I didn't tell anybody that I needed a car. I just asked the Lord. I needed a car to do the ministry that he called me to. And this dear couple came one Sunday and came alongside me. Sheila, I understand you need a car. And I have to be honest with you, I couldn't believe that God had answered the prayer. You know, sometimes we pray things and when it happens, we're overwhelmed with it. And I said, yes. And And I says, yes. I said, well, we've got one that we don't need anymore. Would you like to come and have a look at it and see if you'd like it? And I knew what car it was. It was a Rover, a very big, posh car. And I'd always had very small cars. And so I says, oh, that's lovely. I said, yes, I'd love to, but I can't. Well, just come up and have a look. Just come up and have a look. And I thought in my head, I can't possibly afford to buy that. No way. Anyway, went up to their house and got in the car with the husband and had a go round town. Oh, I like this. And it was an automatic, and I'd never driven an automatic, and he let me drive it. So I was really thrilled with this. This is really great. And I thought, but I can't possibly afford that. No way could I afford that. In my head, I was talking to myself, you know, can't afford that, I can't afford that. And going around, and then we got back to the house, and we sat on the drive, and the wife came down, and she got in the back of the car, and she says, well, what do you think then, Sheila? Do you like it? And I thought to myself in my head, I thought, well, I do like it, but I can't possibly afford it. And I said, yes, it's lovely. Well, it's yours. Pardon? It's yours. You pay us whatever you can. And I have to say, what I gave them was nowhere near what it was worth. And they accepted the amount I could afford. And I had that car for a long time, and it took me all the schools around the bay and all sorts of things. But what I'm trying to say is, look, prayer works. Even if it's a prayer that you're hesitant at praying. Prayer really works. So that's a lesson. So don't be jealous of something else somebody's got. And I had this car, and it was amazing. And I went out to a church and drove up in this Rover, very nice Rover, and got out, you know, and somebody said to me, oh, that's a bit of a posh car. How can you afford that if you're living by faith? And I felt so guilty. And I stood there for a minute. I thought, no. And I said, well, God gave it me. Oh, yes. I'm sorry, these were Christians, but it does happen. We have to say, you've got to be honest with these things. It does happen. But God knows what you need, not necessarily what you want, but what you need. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent here. Sorry about that. So there's some of the lessons. Jealousy. Some people were jealous that I'd got this car, and these were Christians. And they knew the work I was doing, but there was jealousy. Pray for them. Pray for them. Ambition. Jealousy, ambition were the drawbacks to Miriam's otherwise commanding character. She was a very stringent woman, you know. Yeah, I can just imagine it now. Yes, don't say anything, Stephen. Yeah, bless him. Yeah, but the important thing is, let God be the one who promotes you. Whatever ministry you may be in, whatever work you may be in, whatever you may be doing, whether it's working at home and looking after parents, let God promote you in it. Let God be right there within it with you. But you have to ask. You have to ask him to come in and help. Because by asking, you're saying, can't do this without you, Lord. You have to ask. Sometimes it's hard to ask. But let God be the one that promotes you, whatever you're doing, whatever it may be. Let God open up the way before you. Don't try to work it out yourself. Listen to God, obey, and go. Whatever it might be, I don't know who's listening to this morning, but if you're a person that's wondering whether the Lord is calling you into a certain ministry, listen, and when he says yes, go. You don't need to have all the answers straight away. You've got to step out in faith. If you've got all the answers, it'd be a bit boring. Well, I think, because when God is in control, he brings such amazing things around you and people around you that you don't expect. God will open up the way before you to do the work of the kingdom here on earth. That's what we're here for. Let God do it his way, his timing, and God will make a way. Amen. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Sheila. We'll have an opportunity in a moment after our next song to pray for others, but let's take this moment now to respond in our hearts to what God has been saying to you. In the Bible reading notes we looked at early in the week, talked about needing to step out in faith. When they were crossing the Jordan River, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant had to step into the water before the water started piling up. And there is that necessity when God calls us to take a step. And as you go, you'll grow, was the phrase that was given us. So maybe there is a challenge for you to take a step forward into a new ministry or an extension of an existing one. You may be jealous of somebody else, and that's blinding you, deafening you to God's call to you, to be you, and to do what you're supposed to do. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us today. And we can see how somebody who was so full of praise and worship, as years went by, fell into this negative way of thinking. Lord, we can all fall from grace. We can all get things wrong. But thank you, we can always come back for grace and mercy. And that, Jesus, you are praying for us. That when we come to you, Jesus is praying. And as we say sorry, so we have the advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he will forgive all your sins. Right now, Lord, we want to be forgiven for bad attitudes, for slipping down a path that is not good. And we also want to be forgiven for closing our ears to what you're calling us to. Lord, it is an adventure following Jesus, but it costs, and many of us don't want to bear the cost. Forgive us, Lord, for not looking at the cross and seeing what you bore for us. We come again to the cross that we might be forgiven and free, and that we might embrace all that God is calling us to do in following Jesus. Amen. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? God has chosen not to remember our sins, and this song reminds us of that. There are many, his mercy is more. His mercy is more. Stronger than
constantly roam. But Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, vilest, the poor. Since there are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness new every morn. Our sins there are many, his mercy is more. Where riches of kindness he lavished on us, his blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood beneath debt we could never report. Our sins, there are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness new every morn. Our sins, there are mercy is more. Praise the Lord, oh, his mercy is more. Stronger the darkness you every morn. Our sins they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. The darkness new every morn. Our sins they are many, his mercy is more.
Amen. Please be seated. Dee came up to me this morning and said we need to pray for the folk in our church who are unwell, and Mark has had that same conviction. And so there's an opportunity now to pray specifically for those that we know that need that breakthrough. And there may be something else that God puts on your heart as we pray. But Dee, do you want to come up, put you on the spot? You offered, so do you use this mic here. Mark, we're using the lectern mic for Dee, just so we make sure we can hear what you're saying.
Well, someone this morning and yesterday came to me and said, as a church, we should come together and pray for Stephen. So this morning, I just want us to stand together and pray for our leader. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and we bring Stephen as a church to you. Lord, we know that you're doing a great work within us as a church, that you're binding to get us together in love for a purpose and a plan for the future. But Lord, this morning, as we come together with one heart for our leader, we thank you for him. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless him and heal him, and that we would come to know him with the risen Lord in this place as a healer and a comforter. So, Lord, as we join our hearts together, we ask, Lord, that you would just come to your servant Stephen this morning and heal him in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Still praying, and we want you, Lord. We ask. reminds me there's no point if you said how far down he's got to go before the healing comes. Mm-hmm. And Father, it's frightening to watch. Mm-hmm. So Father, we just pray that enough is enough. Mm-hmm. That he's gone far enough. Mm-hmm. And that you'll bring him back. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask for your amazing mercy and grace upon our brother. That you will bring that healing power upon his life.
Yes.
You are God. Amen. And we thank you for him. We thank you for Leslie. Mm-hmm. But Father, we pray for healing upon this body. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we pray for your servant's sins. That Lord, you heal him totally. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, your power is limited. We know full well that you can bring about this healing just by saying a word. And Lord, we humbly come before you and say, please speak that word, Lord, and bring about this miracle. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The hymn tells us, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yes. In thee, O Lord, do we put our trust. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we come to you this morning. We trust you in the speed of healing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Be still and know that I
flesh and blood,
spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we pray this morning, whatever spiritual wickedness in high places responsible for this root, in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, we pray for total departure.
Yes.
Total departure.
Yes.
We pray that we restore divine rest back to Pastor Stephen. In the name of Jesus, whatever cannot be departed from that body will be replaced. Replaced anew. In the name of Jesus. Baba, you are the Lord that healed thee. You sent your word forth and your word become a healer. Therefore, this morning, may you send your healing word upon Pastor Stephen, and he will be made whole. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for those afflicted amongst us. Lord, we love Rowena and Richard and Joan and Pam. Lord, do name all those that you have got your heart on this morning. Bring them to the Lord right now. Let's bring them for healing now. We're going to finish our service with a song that you are welcome to dance to, because we did it yesterday in our rehearsal time, and Mark boogied. I've never seen Mark boogie before, but led by his wife who started to boogie. It's an old song. It's one we do in the care homes, and that gets them going. So there's, you've got no excuse. I serve a risen Savior. This is opportunity to put the Lord's name on you and to bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.